On today's podcast, we're talking to the guy himself from the Rusty Shovel. This is the Ultimate Deck Podcast. Wade Laurent, Shane Chapman, and Sean Steffen from the Rusty Shovel.
This is a dream come true.
I bet it is. Yeah, you had a shitty sleep last night, eh? I've only ever really said your name out loud in my head a bunch, but I think it's Steffen. Is that right? Is that your last name?
It's not French.
Steffen or something?
Yeah, no, it's just Steffen.
Good. I'm a prairie boy. I didn't know how to say it any
other way. It's not very exotic, no.
Yeah. Sean is the owner of the Rusty Shovel, and we've made mention of the Rusty Shovel, I think, a few times here and there in the podcast because they're another local business in our market that we've become quite close friends with because they operate in the same space as we do, with a similar model as we do. And yeah, so there's a lot of synergy there.
The models being similar is for sure something we talk about, right? Where we bounce ideas off each other. We're not really competing for the same thing. We're in the backyard, but we have a very similar concept.
Yeah, not really. Aside from the fact that like decks are far superior to patios in every aspect.
There you go. Get that shot in early.
Yeah, they're a great way to get to the patio. They do serve a great purpose.
It's tough to build a 6 foot tall patio. Not impossible, but sometimes you need a deck to get there. So. Anyway, I think we made a call out on the last episode or something, and we said like we're gonna have to have him on, and sure enough, then like. You were a dream come true because the phone rang before we even put that one up online. It was like you just knew that that was coming.
Well, I listened. I saw your Instagram story and you were asking for questions. So I just wanted to know how you guys keep up your chiseled good looks.
Right.
Despite all the busy lives that
then
you have.
Then you brought the, today when you showed up at the store, you brought ingredients for our chiseled good looks, right? Here's a dozen donuts and a box of coffee.
It's like you got to bring them down to your level.
Shows up with a take 12 of coffee and 12 donuts. It's like, yeah, Sean, this is October. Our payroll's not supporting this many people right now. It's actually just us.
Yeah, it was really just for me. And you could have any donut you wanted, just not the blueberry.
Just not the one blueberry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's two ways to build the tallest building in town, right? Same as us being your size. It's like,
I can lose weight or I can just make these guys bigger.
Here we go.
So. Yeah. So Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself personally and a little bit about your business because nobody from Regina actually listens to this. They're all from like Atlanta and Australia.
A couple of New Jersey guys.
They don't know much about you. So why don't we start with that?
Yeah. So I own a company with my wife called the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. We're a local supply shop similar to what you guys do for decking, but just for most of the rest of the yard. So we started the company in 2010. So I was about 25 years old when we started the company, my uncle and I. And then my wife and I bought majority share of the company in 2014 and have continued to operate it ever since. So we started as an irrigation company. My uncle was an irrigation contractor for 30 some years, sold that company and then needed something to do before retirement. And so got into the supply business for a little bit and kind of grew it to the point where, well, we can't just shut this down. And so I have a marketing background. I was doing some marketing stuff with my dad out of university. So just a family business, entrepreneurial family, that I was fortunate enough to grow up in and have some opportunities. And so we started as an irrigation company. Then we opened the store. We got into all kinds of different things. We do hardscape materials, so retaining walls, paving stone, some specialty rock, artificial turf, landscape lighting, water features, all kinds of different stuff. And so our model is very similar to yours. We did it first. So I think, you probably stole it a little bit. But.
Obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're like, these guys aren't doing the deck part? Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
So we deal with probably about just under half of our business is dealing with homeowners that are looking to do their own landscaping. So they want good quality material with some advice to go along with it. So that's what we provide to them. And then the other half is working with contractors that do it professionally. So we don't do any installation services ourselves. We do have an irrigation designer on staff and a landscape designer on staff. So we work a lot with the homeowners to create relationships. with the guys that can actually build it with the materials that we provide. So just try and provide that full 360 service for the homeowners.
Nice. I've always been a fan of your name, the Rusty Shovel. I thought that was a clever little name for the business, but I think you, the irrigation side at least had a different name at one time.
It sure did. Yes. Yes. It's we had Sprinkler Daddy.
Yeah,
still,
you did.
Still operates, still operates. Sprinklerdaddy.ca if you want to get your quote.
As much as I love the Rusty Shovel, you should have stuck with the Daddy line of businesses.
Yeah.
Landscape Daddy and Sprinkler Daddy and Deck Daddy is what we should have been called.
Franchise in.
Yeah, that was our original proof of concept, because we were doing, like, this was probably 2006 through 2008. We were trying to help small businesses use this internet thing to help grow their companies, lead generation, email marketing, YouTube video content marketing, that sort of thing. But in 2008, it was a tough sell with businesses. They were kind of, you know, the response was like, I don't know about this internet thing. Like, is it really going to take off?
Or is this going to go?
So we knew, with our clients that had bought in, we knew that there was obviously something there, which, I mean, that hypothesis has proved fairly okay. And so we just were kind of looking, you know what, if we could actually build a business with something to sell, a tangible product to sell, I think we could be successful with it. And my uncle at the time, he's like, hey, I got this product that I think we could sell online. I don't know anything about it, but here's how I would go about it. And so we put together a plan to try and do that. And that was where Sprinkler Daddy came from. And we were selling do-it-yourself sprinkler packages all over North America, and still do that today, but more focus on the local market with pretty much everything that we do.
Sounds like, it almost sounds verbatim like the Gary Vaynerchuk story of, like, dad had a wine shop, Gary takes it online where people don't expect it, takes it from 3 million to 60 million. Did you do that?
Yeah. We're definitely part of the way to 60 million. Yes.
So Sprinkler Daddy still exists as just an online sales platform for your irrigation side of the business.
Yeah, it's essentially like we created a lot of content on there. So how I got into the business was I would be getting all these questions from people that we sold packages to, and they were coming to me, but I wasn't the expert yet in the product. I was kind of the marketing face of how to do this, right? So anytime I would get a question, instead of spending all Saturday on my phone answering questions, I would go ask my uncle what the answer was, and then I record what the answer was, right? And so we built this library of how-to information up on YouTube, and I just haven't had the heart to take it down because it's got multi-millions of views on YouTube, and it still generates some leads through it. So, like, a lot of times, you know, people will, like, the phone will still ring, and I occasionally will see, you know, our staff will answer, you know, good morning, Sprinkler Daddy. And you know, I'm like, we literally haven't touched that in like 6 years or something, but it still brings in you know, some stuff. So I just haven't shut it
down.
Sales
by accident.
Yeah. But for everybody that's pulling that up right now, it's definitely a 2008 version, website, because it hasn't been touched since. Yeah.
And you're going to want to make sure your spelling's right when you put that into Google too. Be careful which link you click on. So small business would cut, like, we're probably similar size businesses. I don't know. We don't get into that kind of stuff as far as like how many employees or financials, but I think we're probably similar size businesses operating in the same, like, the exact same market, obviously. Day to day, like, what do you find? You have, like I said, you've been in business a bit longer than we have. So I think we're kind of somewhat figuring things out here. It takes a long time, right? We're like, we're going to wrap up year four here. And it's still like every day we're still like, you know what, we need to change. What do you find to be like your biggest challenges operating? Let's just talk about local market for now and kind of finish with the online Sprinkler Daddy stuff. But what are your challenges operating in this market with your type of business?
Well, I think at every level of business, you're going to run into new problems. Like, we, you know, you constantly, as a business owner getting started, you're like, you know, if we could just get to this sales threshold, then like all of our problems will be solved. And then, like, rarely actually not really. Never does that actually happen because you just get there. There's really not that sense of satisfaction or accomplishment because you always feel like you could have done more, you could have done better, right? So there's new challenges, right? So we've been on a track to double the size of the business in whatever metrics you want to look at as far as revenue or size of staff every 5 years. And so this will be our 10th season in coming up here. And so that comes with new challenges every time. You know, like when I see you guys just grinding away at doing estimates and doing like, yeah, that was literally my life for 7 years, right? I did all the sprinkler designs. I did all the sprinkler quotes.
We have three more years of this?
Well, there's two of you. So maybe that cuts it in half a little bit.
We gotta speed this up. Get some software. Yeah. I can't do this for three more years.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, and just different stages of growth too, right? So you go from doing everything yourself to then bringing on employees to work beside you, and they're kind of ingrained, they learn all of the values that you have from the company from you, right? So you're there to just add your two cents to every single customer interaction for the most part, right? But then now we're kind of one step removed. It's like a third generation of employees that are coming into our business. So like I am less involved in the day-to-day customer interaction now, but and we have employees that are, it's kind of like a game of telephone, right? So the, you know, like our summer students this year, we had two awesome university students come in and work for us this year, but they don't get the opportunity to work side by side with me. So they're getting the story of like, well, Sean would actually want you to do this from, you know, that second generation of employee, right? And yep. So.
And they're all telling customers like, yeah, we started as Spankler Diddy. And then I'm like, Spankler Diddy, what the hell is Spankler? Yeah, I think that's what it was.
So yeah, there's just managing more employees is and keeping the message true to what your intentions are, right?
This summer, you and I were probably out at the Valley having a round of golf, playing some golf.
Sounds like
us.
And I
think that you had told me, my staff actually now, my employees actually tell me, like, it's worse when you're in the store. We actually don't want you to like sell to people because you're like, you just mess things up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, okay, well then do a better job and I'll stay out of the way. Right.
It's like, yeah, no. And because I'm just, you know, when size becomes an issue in your company, not that we're a gigantic company, like we've got 6 full-time year round employees. We've got, you know, we'll be as big as 12, in season. So, you know, it's not a huge business by any stretch, but it's not small anymore either. Right. From when we started, we had me and my uncle and Terry. And that was, you know, that was the three of us. That was it.
The camera
right?
guy on your YouTube videos.
Yeah, Terry. Exactly. So we, you know, it's just different now. And so, you get used to the level of, you know, just work yourself into the ground basically. Right. And so, so it's been a strategic decision for me actually to, grow the company, not by my individual work, but by building a team. And I mean, that costs money. So it's like, it's been an expensive curve to get there, but, you know, like not to make this super heavy, interview, but, probably 3 years ago now, I thought I was having a heart attack. Like significantly overweight and, you know,
shows up today with 12 donuts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've worked hard for those donuts by the
long
way.
Enough. Yeah. It was enough in the past that you've forgotten about the seriousness.
I was like, yeah. You probably actually went to the gym this morning, right?
So. Not this morning, had to go to the dentist, but,
right. Oh yeah.
But every other morning, 6 o'clock. So,
good for you, man. I can't do that.
But it was just like, it was something like, you know, I've got 3 young kids that I would like to see grow up that you look at it and you're like, well, is the solution actually working? You know, moving, if we want to grow, like that just means I actually got like really disenchanted with the business for a couple of years, or not a couple of years, but probably one season, because we had grown so much and I didn't have the most solid team around me that I wanted it to stop, because the more that I grew, the more that just meant more time for me. So, and I was already working 14-hour days, right?
Yeah, it's like you had to work harder. And it's like, listen, we can't scale this thing. If it's just me,
yeah,
I can't take this to a $10 million business because I can't work that hard.
Yeah. Right? And so like now, like for example, like I've got Tony, who's our irrigation designer and does all our designs and quotes and stuff.
He's a good golfer too.
He's a very good golfer. That was
a beat down on us.
Yeah. That was part of the hire, was for Rusty Shovel golf outings. I needed some more run support.
In your scrambles. It's like, I need a guy for my scramble games. Yeah. How are it's you
like
at golf?
It's like the Springfield Isotopes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mattingly. Yeah. Shave those sideburns.
I thought I was getting hired for design. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's part
I can
of it.
Teach that. How's your golf game?
Yeah. But I mean, like, that was one part of what I was doing personally. And now it's a full-time job for someone else, right? And so, you know, like I used to be the best person at everything in my business, but now that's not the case. I have specialists that are in there all the time, right? Like we've got to the point where, yeah, it doesn't make sense for me to be dealing with a lot of that stuff anymore because I'm not focused on it. It requires a level of focus that as a business owner, I'm just not able to provide, because we're, you know, you're dealing with purchasing, you're dealing with sales, you're dealing with staffing. You got to make sure your, you know, CRA is paid and GST is paid and all your bills are paid. You got to be budgeting for payroll, for expenses, for emergencies, for growth, all that sort of thing. Right. So, you know, building a team has been, the biggest focus for me day to day the last little while. And I've been very fortunate. We've got, you know, the reason why we keep six people on year round full time isn't because we have a super high demand for landscaping products in December in Regina, Saskatchewan. It's because when we do hit the ground running, we want to provide, like we're offering a high end service to homeowners that are spending a lot of money developing their property. And if I just hire seasonal temporary work to do that, I'm not providing what I told them that I was providing.
Yeah, exactly. I think everything you're talking about right now is kind of like where Wade and I have been with our business. I would say in the last like maybe year or two, acknowledging that that's going to have to happen. And we're kind of going through that right now, kind of like, who are the people that we need to have in place so that we aren't on, so that we're not touching everything. Because if this business is going to continue to grow, we can't be everything. And if we go away for a week, things have to be okay. Yep. And so it's interesting to hear that that's a, you know, a common thread, and that you made peace with that and took, and I think that's where we're at. We've made peace with that. And now it's like figuring out the pieces. Who do we actually need to put in your full time? Because the other struggle you have to get over too, I think, with a business that's seasonal is, to your point that you just mentioned, it's like, you're not making much money, if any, between December and, you know, February for sure. March, maybe, like there's that kind of dead zone in there. It's like, boy, do we want to have payroll in that time? It's like, well, if you want to be generating any revenue come March, April, you better have some consistency in your people and your processes. And so that's just what you're going to have to do. You don't want to start with a fresh batch every year.
And it's hard. It's just like any other investment, right? It's no different than, you know, you guys are going to like, okay, well, if we want to be in the business of selling decking, that means we have to commit to buying inventory. And like, well, what if it doesn't sell? Okay, well, yeah, it might not sell. But same thing with, you know, you could be looking at your income statement right now and, you know, look at the bottom line and you're like, okay, well, we had $30,000 worth of net income at the end of the year before we paid our taxes. But I think I need another person, and that person is going to want to make $45,000. So how do I make that work? Right. And so you have to be looking at, you know, what return am I going to get out of that person and put them in the right direction? That's probably been the biggest challenge, is not just adding more people, but putting them in a positive situation to thrive. It's like, you know, like we do, in order to, you know, that question that you always get, what do you guys do in the wintertime? We,
never gotten
you
it.
Know, like we, We hang Christmas today. Lights. Yeah. That was our solution. We decided, you know what? I think we could kind of carve out a niche where we could put our guys, not step on the toes of any of our customers doing snow removal. We could put up Christmas lights. And so we do that. It's just a tiny little part of our business that kind of keeps us going through the winter, allows me to, it's a mechanism for me to, you know, make, it makes payroll for another month. And we can, you know, instead of having 4 months down, we have 3 months down. Right. Yeah. But talking to some of the guys, it's like, well, last year we had some crews out doing Christmas lights where we had three guys on the crew, but it took them as long, you know, you look back at the year before and we did that job with two people in the same amount of time. So like just having, getting extra bodies on the ship isn't the answer. You actually have to have a purpose for what, like, what are they spending their time on? Right. So like we made a commitment this year to getting some of those summer students on the floor so that we could have better service on the floor, but it would free up, you know, John does all of our contractor referrals, for example. So it frees him up to work more on those contract referrals, provide better, service to the homeowner. Same thing with Tony, instead of having to interrupted work where he's getting called out to talk about landscape edging with a customer for, you know, 45 minutes, he can bang out six quotes in a reasonable time period so that it's taking a day instead of a week to get out. Again, providing better service, you provide better service. We're hoping that that investment bears some fruit in getting more business through the door, right? But it's just like anything, any investment, it's a gamble, right?
Yeah, we're guilty of that for sure, that in the heat of summer or your busy times, we just throw bodies at things. It's like, oh my God, we're so busy, like hire two more people and just put them in the yard and like, but
we don't onboard them, right? Yeah. It's like,
yeah, they don't get a proper training or they.
Hi, my name's Fred. Hey, Fred. Yeah. You picked up things before? Yeah, I've picked up things before. Good. Go see Pat. He'll tell you what things to pick up. Where's my time card? Don't worry about that. We'll get that to you later. This deck has to go out.
It's log like, it on your phone.
Wow. Yeah.
So all right? of a sudden you we have like lots. All these bodies sitting around, but it's not efficient whatsoever. Nope. It's just they're there to do something. Somebody gives them something to do, but everybody else is too busy to actually like spend the time to organize, plan, and be efficient about the bodies that you have here.
Then I get mad. I walk around the corner and they're standing there with their hands in their pocket. It's like, well, I didn't tell him what to do. I never gave him any instruction.
Yeah.
I have not given him the environment to succeed in.
Yeah.
And so he won't.
And that's actually a really good thing for business owners to take away is like, if you take the approach that, you know, like this is a Gary Vaynerchuk thing, but like everything that happens in my business is my fault in one way or another. Right. Yep. So like, yeah, I didn't misquote that customer, but what tools did I give the, you know, my staff to be able to quote that job properly? Like if they're just doing the most of them, they're like, there's no ill will or intentions, but they're just doing the best that they can with whatever you gave them to work with. Right. Correct. So if you gave them a really brutal setup, like they're probably going to do a brutal job, and they're probably doing a better job than they should. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we have to, we check ourselves on that quite a bit, maybe because I'm in the Vaynerchuk's in my ears more often than maybe it would be for Wade or whatever. That's more top of mind for me. So I know sometimes there's times where either I'll complain about something or Wade will send me a text and it's just like, he sends it to me in the wrong time. It's like, he'll complain about one of our guys or something's going on. And it's like, and I just like right away, like, listen here, this is our fault.
Yeah.
We didn't give that guy the proper tools. We didn't do this. We did this. We're setting a bad example, blah, 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 blah. And he gets all these texts back and it's like, you should have sent that to me before I listened to that Vaynerchuk podcast.
But I think that's an advantage that we have is that we do sound these things off of each other. Mm-hmm. And because we're both bipolar, it's like not at the same time, right? But he'll send me a message and be like, I think we need to do this, whatever. Heads in the clouds. And it's like, get your feet back on the ground. Like we're not building a website in June. We're like just trying to get deck packages out, you know, and then I complain about other things, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I think like the world that we both live in is we're dealing with a lot of like 97% of our professional contractor customers are owner operators, right?
Yep.
And so you're like, it's hard because like I said, I've been there, I've been in the weeds. And when you're in the weeds, you can't look at the big picture stuff, right? And so like, if you're just trying to get that deck built or you're trying to get that patio laid or you're trying to get the sprinkler system in, like you're not thinking about training programs. Like it just, it doesn't work, but like that's where the off season has to come in, because like you do need to be able to take a step back and say like, well, what am I trying to get out of this? And like, if you're good, like this is like same thing as, you know, like not to make it all about Gary Vaynerchuk, but like he talks about like, if you're happy, then like this advice isn't for you. Like if you're good. Like just yeah. like that is awesome. But like if you're complaining about stuff, then take a step back and truly evaluate what you're doing. So if in one breath you're saying, oh, we got so much work, I just can't get to it all. It's just like, it's crazy. I don't know how I'm going to get to it, but I can't hire more employees because I don't have time because I have too much work. And then on the other side, they come out of the season and they're like, oh, I guess I got to like, hopefully I can get on shutdown at the upgrader so that like I can pay my mortgage. And you're like, well, this is like, this
that
is
right. There is the most Regina statement of all time. Yeah. Hopefully I can get on that shutdown at the upgrader. Yeah. Nobody listening to this has any idea what the hell that meant.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
Mark, if you know what that is, just send us a message. Be like, oh yeah, no, I'm thinking about coming there too.
It's such a common thing though.
Well, cause it is like, you gotta make ends meet. It is 100% a Saskatchewan, Regina thing, right?
You're going to give them the inside joke. It's a gas refinery plant, and every year they shut down for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks. And they just do some maintenance to service the thing. And so again, they just throw bodies at it.
Yeah.
And so
14 days straight, like 14 hour shifts and
changing out valves and
getting paid a lot of money in a short period of time to have no life, but be at the, you know, be but at
make
the
make your
upgrader.
Mortgage payments.
Yeah, 100%.
And so guys that are getting by day-to-day contracting and don't have a bunch of work lined up, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to pause this for 2 weeks and go make some money at the upgrader. And
yeah, and that's not intended to be a judgment, but it's just like, it's a reality of the industries that we work in. And like our livelihoods are dependent on those guys wanting to grow their businesses. Right. And correct. So when they, like, I just like almost all of the customers that we deal with are, you know, like one crew. Maybe two crews type of thing. Right. And again, if you're happy with where you're at and you're making good money and you can spend time with your family and you found that balance, then like all the more power to you. But like a lot of contractors, they struggle right through like trying to make it. And it's not because they're bad people or anything like that. It's just like they're a lot of it's the e-myth thing, right? Like a lot of contractors, they become a landscaper because they worked as a landscaper. They got good as a landscaper. And so they started a landscape company, but like nobody is there to hold their hand on like, okay, but CRA is going to want the money that you withheld from your employees at the end of every month. Right.
And they're not calling you to tell you that you owe that money. They're not,
they'll send you the interest bill.
They're not the loudest, but then they send you the bill. Right. And it's like, oh,
and then your bank account's frozen.
Oh boy.
And then that's a big problem. So, I guess like, you know, just, I think even just what we're doing and what we're fortunate enough to have is that like, we have like businesses that don't compete against each other, that we can talk about problems with too much inventory or too much staff or not enough staff or delinquent payments or like, all of those things. And we can like, I have some answers for you guys when you have issues. They're like, well, yeah, that's a problem. We've dealt with it this way in the past and it's not 100%, but it's better than where we were and vice versa. Right. So I think with contractors, it tends to be, you tend to get a little bit more siloed with where you're at and it's like entrepreneurship is a lonely, lonely place because you can't really, like, there's a lot of this stuff. Like I'm wildly open with my employees. But there's still some things that you can't talk about with, you know, with anybody, right? And and it's the other, you know, like you don't want, like, if you're stressing about being able to make payroll, like, your employees probably aren't the people that you want to be talking
you
to.
You can't walk
that,
out onto the floor and be like, okay, guys,
what's the matter, boss?
Well, whoever gets to the bank the fastest gets paid this month. What? I'm going to write them all.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, it's a proximity game, I guess. Good luck.
Should have chose Kinexus over the Royal Bank, I guess. Yeah. So, but yeah, like, I would just encourage people to, you know, find somebody. If you're a deck builder, or you're find a landscaper. If you're a landscaper, find a plumber or an electrician or somebody in the trades that has figured it out, or even if they haven't figured it out, just like, maybe you'll come up with the solution together by just saying things out loud. Right. And I think, you know, because business, like, whatever business you're in, it is such a risk. And like, if you're going to make that risk, you should get some rewards. Like, there's a, and I don't know if it's just a Saskatchewan thing, or if it's a mentality that goes, you know, throughout the world, but there's two ways to look at success, right? There's people out there that are always going to be, oh, that must be nice, you know, or it's like, hey, you guys are doing a good job for, you know, providing value in our community, taking a huge risk, like, good for you. You should be doing well for yourself. Right. It's like, I don't know why there's this mentality where we want to keep each other down. Like, you know, with the donut thing, right. It's like, well, I'm not in shape, so I want Wade Shade not to be in shape, so I'm going to shove donuts down there.
Don't worry.
Yeah. So that I feel better about myself.
The first comment you made when you came in was like, oh, you guys' snack racks are pretty full. And it's like, yes, there's literally 48 chocolate bars, just coffee crisps, and then other ones sitting there. Oh, and it's, man, like, who do you guys sell snacks to? Mostly ourselves. So, yeah, you touched on, we often remind ourselves of this, that winter time is as daunting as it can look to be, because it's like the sales stop coming in, and it's like, you know, you're 4 months away till they start coming in again. And it's like, boy, there's a lot of stresses that come along with that. But it's also from the clouds talk, like almost a great advantage to be able to step back out of the business, kind of put your head into the vision part of things a little bit, strategize, make some changes, do all your adjustments, and get ready for the next year, and to give yourself a break. Because
just write down all the things you messed up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. This return policy is no good.
Because if you were go all year, you'd have no chance to do that. So there is a silver lining to that. But what do you guys, I'll give you the question. What do you guys do in the winter? Like, you do your Christmas, like, I'm assuming it's all very similar to what we do in the winter, but for other seasonal businesses, which landscapers and deck builders are, you know, a lot of them go do inside stuff too, whatever, but how do you guys spend you got six employees you keep on all year round. What's everybody doing? That kind of stuff? Or?
Right. Yeah. So, like, for me personally, my work is kind of spread out throughout the year. Like, this time of year is actually more work for me. Like, as our staff are kind of taking a deep breath because we're not, you know, pushing through the volume that we were in July. I'm now trying to put the puzzle pieces together as to what the heck happened this season and how are we going to get better for next season, right? And and so looking at all your reports, like, knowing your numbers is like, it is the most important thing in the business. So, like, I know a lot of, like, obviously a lot of deck builders, a lot of landscapers, they're not accountant people. They didn't get into a trade to become accountants, right? And nor should you, but you should have accurate statements and timely statements. Like, you shouldn't have to say, like, oh, how was your year this year? Like, when you asked me that when I brought the coffee in this morning, how's the year going? Like, I know how my year's going, like, up to yesterday, right? Because it's for the most part pretty real time. But when you look at a lot of companies, and this is just in the trades, I've talked to ad agencies that are the same way. It's like, well, you know, I just got my numbers back for June, and you know, I think it's pretty good. We'll have to see how we did in July, August, and September. And it's like, oh, geez, like, that's a long time ago.
But those are over. You can't make any changes at this point.
No, exactly.
Now you're just waiting to find out how you did?
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And I get a lot of help with that as far as, like, you know, putting reports together and then planning for inventory, right? So we do a lot of buying. We go and do some shows. We try and put together purchase plans. A lot of our, you know, our suppliers, same as you, they're looking for commitments for the spring to be able to get going. So that's what I personally spend a lot of time on. But I know going into this year, it's going to be like with my staff, it's you know, catching up on all the stuff that you've been putting off, all those jobs. Oh, we'll do it in the winter. We'll do it in the winter. But actually, like, holding their feet to the fire. It's like, well, it's winter time now, so let's maybe get on that stuff. So there's that. But also just like business development stuff. Like that's going to be a key push for us going forward, is just creating new relationships with people and having them know what you do and you know, what you offer. Because I think there are a lot of people out there that, like, they want to support local business. They want to support their friends. They want to support they want to support good people. And you just kind of got to tell your story a little bit, right? So it's a little bit of campaigning out there, just to shake enough hands and tell your story to enough people. And so we deploy our team against that. And then we do take downtime as well, right? Like, that's the time, like, we've got our core, you know, our core season is basically May 1 through, you know, September long weekend, where it's like, oh, you want a week off? Like, how about no? You know, but you want a week in February? Like, how about two? Yeah. So there is that gap. So we do, we close the shop from about usually we wrap Christmas lights around the 15th of December. Because, like, if you haven't got your lights up within 10 days of the big day, you're probably not doing it, right? So that's kind of when we wrap up. We'll have a couple of days of meetings, and then we just take 2 weeks off. Like, we close the shop for 2 weeks. That's the only time, and it's a time when nobody's really expecting you to be around, at least in our business. It's like, well, I wanted to buy a gift card on December 23rd. Well, you can do that online now. So, there's that added convenience, but just recharge a little bit. Like, I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Regina's a government town. There's a lot of EDOs that happen, you know, every third Friday for people. And there's a 8-to-4 type of a work day, you know, just go steady Eddie through the year. And that works for some people, but for me and for the people that work for me, like, there's an on switch and there's an off switch, right? So, like, when we go, there's a lot of 10-hour days, 12-hour days that get put in. And then we recharge a little bit, on top of that. So it's really like, it's not necessarily because we've looked at all kinds of different revenue options for the winter, and it's just not there for us anyways. Do you bring in another product line? Well, now that's more cash outlay, and you know, do you actually get cash ahead, like, to make a little bit of profit, but you had to put, you know, to make $1,000 more in profit, but you had to invest $4,000 in inventory? It's not the best way to go about things. So, I think it's just about setting the table, getting your systems better for one inside your business. And then also, just that business development is a huge piece for sure.
Yeah. Very similar again, probably no surprise that we shut down, same idea. We worked till basically the Friday before Christmas essentially, and then shut it down for 2 weeks and open Monday after New Year's kind of thing. We just take that 2 week block off too, because you're right, everybody needs a break. You need to break away from it for a little bit. And that's the most obvious and least revenue detrimental time to do it.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, nobody's expecting a deck store or a landscape shop to be open between Christmas and New Year's.
Like, yeah. And as a, like, just from a selfish point of view as a business owner, like, yeah, I could let my guys go, like, you want to work between Christmas and New Year's, like, fill your boots. But for me, as a business owner, like, especially with, you know, smartphones and all that sort of thing, like, you're always connected to your business, right? Yeah. So, like, if you have employees at work, even if you're not at work, you're thinking about work. Right?
Absolutely.
And yep. So, like, it's just I think everybody needs that ability to just shut it off, get a reset. And then I find by the time you come out of that break and you've watched all the World Juniors and all the college football bowl games and all the NFL end of season stuff and into the playoffs, you're like, okay, well, my couch is a little dented. Yeah. And
I'm so sick of turkey. Right? Yeah. This is over. Yeah. No
there's,
more.
There's a lot of scotch bottles sitting there. And those are Bailey bottles too. So maybe maybe we should get back into life here. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, but I think everybody does need that shut off period, and it's super important.
Yeah, the trick, I brought this up to Wade the other day. I said that in a very Canadian way too, the other day.
How boot.
That, like, that's coming in December, that break is coming, and it's hard to not like accidentally have it now.
Yeah.
At the end of your go, it, you know, it snowed the other day again yesterday. And so things slow down, and it's like all summer you've been waiting for things to slow down so you can attack your to-do list, and then things slow down and everybody kind of sits back in their chair and is like,
yeah.
And it's like, we need to make sure that we stay on top of it because we've only got a little bit of time before things logistically get very complicated in our yard, before things are buried in snow. And like, we need to do all the cleanup that we couldn't do all year. All that needs to happen now. So it, like, now's, even though the customers aren't walking through the door, now's the time, not the time to be sitting back and taking a relax. Like, let's just keep pushing until we get closer to December. And then
it's hard to push too. Cause for us, we've scaled back our employee volume, right? Summer students are gone. We're now, like, it's hard to do it, but we have to. We know that we have to, right? So,
yeah. What about the online portion of the business? So you've got your Sprinkler Daddy stuff. Are you finding that your type of business can succeed in that platform? Like, do you find that people, that your customers, even within Regina or around the area, are looking for things online? I don't know. This is kind of a dumb question because obviously they are to a certain extent, but is that something you're focused on, or do you find that your bricks and mortar is really what needs most of your attention?
I think online drives bricks and mortar. I mean, everybody does their pre-shopping online, right? Yeah. So like, we have, it's like the argument over advertising, right? Where you're like, you know, we spend advertising dollars in a whole bunch of different places, but like, what's being most successful? And it's like, well, our Google AdWords is doing awesome because like all of our clicks come from Google AdWords and it's sending people to our site that buy stuff. And it's like, well, is that just the toll booth for the sale, or did they click on the Google AdWords because they'd heard your ad on the radio?
Yeah. How did they even
they drive by your sign? And then they're like, oh yeah, I've heard of those guys. I trust those guys. Let's click on those guys instead of, you know, somebody that they've never heard of before. Right. So, but when it comes to online from a sales perspective, so like, we have a Shopify portion of our website where we have all of our products up online, because I think it's important for just to be transparent with your pricing. So we're not like an online retailer because we have the realities of bricks and mortar. Like, I have, I don't have a warehouse with products where
in
I can
your
just,
case, literally you're selling the bricks and the mortar.
Yes. Yes. Not the mortar, just the bricks. But people do want to be able to go online, see what their options are, what are the pricing options, to be able to do their pre-shop, and then they'll come in and they'll have a lot more targeted conversation. So like, we do, like, we just had yesterday we sold a Screeter package and a dead blow hammer to somebody in PEI. Like, that was lovely. So we'll get that one-off stuff where it's like, you know, we have, just like you guys, like, you have some specialty stuff that maybe isn't available in certain parts of the country, or it's just like, well, I found this, and so why would I keep searching? This answers my problem, so I'll just, you know, buy it and it'll come to my door, right? I don't really care whether it ships from BC or Alabama or PEI. Like, it just get it to me, right? Yeah. So there is that portion, but it's like, it's such a small, like, you know, I'm not retiring on our Shopify sales, put it that way. But it is an important thing for us to be able to have up there so that people can, even just to show people what we, you know, what we offer, right? Like, we have so many different product lines that people don't even know about. So, just to have that reference point is big for us.
Yeah. For, did you?
I think that pre-shopping is huge. I think that's So whether it's your retail location or a contractor who has a website that shows their own business, right? People are pre-shopping before they contact you. So
yeah,
have your internets good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a, like for us, like we try and put as much content out there and personality out there as well, because I think it's, you know, in a world of, you know, online shopping where you can buy products anywhere, I think there is still an element to people want to know who they're buying from. And you know, like we're like when I was answering the phone all the time, people would like watch the videos and then they'd call, you know, they'd call the shop for something and they'd be like, whoa, like you're the guy from the video. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, it's just me, my uncle and Terry. Yep.
I'm going to do payroll later too. And then a delivery after that.
Yeah. So, you know, so the online portion is something that we try and use online to humanize ourselves. Right. So sure. Like people can actually see through it. So like, just as an example to that, you know, when we do our sprinkler quotes, for example, like Tony, he sends a written email out, but then he does, he uses online platform called Loom, and he records a video where he's talking about the specific quote that he did. And we put that into an email that goes out like the next day to really put a face to it, right? So it's not just okay, I went to this online website, I filled out a form, I got an autoresponder back, and then I got a price in a form letter. It's like, no, okay, hey, Tony here, like I'm a guy, I exist, I'm in an office that exists, and like here's the plan that you sent in, and I designed it, and here's how I designed it and why I designed it that way. And if you have any questions, like I'll answer the phone. If you call in, it'll be me, Tony. So,
that's really good.
Let's unpack that a little bit. So cause you know, all of your numbers, yep. What's your success rate since you've started that?
Conversion rate is, on our sprinkler packages is really good. It's better than a 500 batting average. So,
awesome.
So that is, you know, that's really good. And that's kind of like the North Star for our business of like, okay, we've created a repeatable system that provides good value to our customers when it comes to sprinklers. How the heck do we do that for landscape lighting and water features and pavers and retaining wall block and you know, that sort of thing? We do it with our landscape design as well. We have a process for how that stuff all goes through. And actually, Jesse started doing that. We took that model and we applied it to our landscape design as well, right? So yeah. we're trying to streamline Jesse's the only one that knows how to use SketchUp in our business, right? So yep. Like that is a defined skill set that only he can do, and he's the bottleneck of. But we have lots of people that can talk about construction and how to build things properly and how to select colors and all that sort of thing, right? So when Jesse goes and does the design, he's put a lot of thought and effort into that design, and it's all purposeful, right? And so like it's tempting when a contractor gets the design to be like, well, yeah, I don't know, Jesse really likes all these curves, but like you get more bang for your buck if we just do it straight.
Yeah,
you know, and like it's so what Jesse's trying to do again with the idea of the end consumer in mind, trying to make sure that the customer gets the best experience at the end of the day and the best value at the end of the day, he shoots a video and set like justifies why he did each thing
yeah.
into the design, right? Because like as professionals, we take a lot of that for granted. It's like, well, of course you want the sight lines out of your kitchen window to be at something good instead of bad, right? And so we've taken that into account. But like if we don't voice that, and the water feature that was perfect, like was placed to be able to view out the kitchen window while, you know, the husband's doing dishes at night, gets shifted over by 6 feet because it was easier. Well, then that just like it destroys everything that went into that design, right? So now Jesse will do that same screenshot video where he will voice over the design and he'll go through all those details so that, because a lot of times the time horizon again is like 12 to 18 months from, you know, booking your design to actually getting the plan built. Yeah. And so it's like, well, I don't know. What were we thinking there? I don't know.
Yeah. Watch the video again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. I think, you know, being out in front of that, explaining your estimate early is good rather than send the estimate and then wait for them to make contact, right? Because that could be 6 months.
Yeah.
Like you could send it and then just poof, gone. And then they come back 6 months next season. Okay. We've digested the $60,000 estimate you sent us and we're ready.
Yeah.
I was like, well, shit, I thought you were gone. I thought you went like you went somewhere else, right? So
yeah.
Now you try and find it and you try and go through it. So
and yeah, as something for like for contractors, like we share this stuff with our contractors too, because a common refrain from contractors is, well, I'm so much better than this guy, but every time I lose it on price to this guy. And it's like, okay, well, how do you present your quotes? Do you just send out an email or do you drop it in the mailbox? Or like do you like what's your follow-up procedure like? Right. And that gets back to like evaluate yourself on what you're doing. Like, don't just blame your customer because they didn't buy from you. Like there was a reason that they bought from you. Like if you truly do provide, you know, you provided your quote at $52,000 and somebody beat you at $48,000. Like it wasn't the $4,000 that was the difference. It was that you didn't give somebody the reason why you're worth the extra $4,000, yeah, right? Exactly. And especially in what we do, like there's so many different variables on like, are you putting in 4 inches or 6 inches of topsoil? Are you doing 10 inches of base or 16 inches of base? Are you doing one type of turf infill or another type of turf infill? Like there's not a whole lot of consultation that goes on in that process. So we try and provide that on behalf of the contractors and have a lot of those conversations so that it is just a put a price to this. But it's still your job as a contractor to sell you because you're doing custom work for somebody. And if you truly do provide more value, then you should have a system for portraying that, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, okay, we're doing this deck. And the way that we've got it designed is, you know, it's going to cost $60,000. And like, but like, I don't have to sell you a $60,000 deck. I'm happy to build you a $20,000 deck or a $5,000 deck. But what I won't do is build you a $60,000 deck for $40,000. Like that is a quick way for me to go out of business. And like, it doesn't matter what warranty is on these deck boards. Cause I won't be on business to be able to replace them at the end of the day. Right. Yeah. So, you want to be able to put something like that in place so that you can say your best practices of like, hey, this is the way that we build things and here's why we build things. So like for our sprinkler quotes, for example, like we know that there's other people that choose to, like there's cheaper ways that we could put our sprinkler packages together to bring the quoted price down. But we don't think that that's the right like we don't want to just throw stuff in there for, you know, for the heck of it. We want to, but there's some places where you just want to spend a little bit more money, right? So like in a sprinkler system, the valve, if there's ever going to be a problem, it's going to be with the valve because it either shuts and keeps water from going or it doesn't. And so like if you're going to have, and you're dealing with water in the ground with electronics, right? And moving parts. So like if there's going to be a problem with the system, it's going to be with the valve. Well, we've got a manifold system that has swivel fittings on it so that when you do, because you are at some point, it's just a matter of when, doesn't matter the brand, the valve is going to go. So we create our systems in a way that you can quickly just swivel that apart, pop the valve out, pop a new one in. It's a 5-minute fix. As opposed to the alternate way, which is cheaper up front, is to cut it. You know, you basically just have to cut it all apart. It's just threaded PVC and there's no way to spin off the valve. So you're replacing the whole thing if one piece goes wrong. But like, if I just do that and I don't communicate to the customer why we do that, then like, of course they're just going to go with the cheapest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I find that that's our struggle too. We don't want to build things the cheapest, shittiest way because
because we believe that there's better ways to do things. So we catch ourselves quoting things the way that we think they should be done. Whereas your competition a lot of time is like, they're using a software program that's just going to spit out the lowest, most efficient way to do something, or like, or they don't really care. All they care about is moving the material out of the yard. They don't care about the experience afterwards. So they're just quoting it on bare bones. And so of course our quotes are a lot of times higher. And the odd time we hear from somebody, from people that actually do their research, they find out and often communicate back to us like, your guys' pricing is great. But for the people who don't do it and they just say like, I got a quote from you and I got a quote from guy X and like, you're $1,000 more. And we never just be like, not sure why that is. It's like, there's a reason why it's $1,000 more. It's because we did this, right? And if we actually get the quotes together and compare them, it's like,
amazing if we get that phone call. If we get the phone call that tells us we're $1,000 different,
yeah,
we got the job.
Yeah, because you can tell them where that $1,000 is.
So that's why I think this.
Because there's something that.
What was that software called again?
Well, we use Infusionsoft.
Loom. For the video.
Oh, for Loom.
Loom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they it's free software, and they you can actually get unlimited storage just by referring somebody else to use the software. So like if Shane
this
refers
is your plug right here
to it, no, it's like, it's no benefit to me, but like you can sign up for it. And then if Wade refers Shane, then Wade now has unlimited storage for videos, right? And time. So
it's, there's the value for today's takeaway to this podcast for contractors all over the place. Like check that out.
Yeah.
So, to add to the value part of that, if like a lot of contractors don't have maybe marketing budgets at all, or if they do, it's certainly not to the size of like, you know, a bricks and mortar store like ourselves, that you would have a budget kind of set aside for marketing. A lot of guys are working out of their truck and trailer that are kind of a one-man operation or one crew operation, don't have money set aside for that. They're looking for the most efficient way to get their name out there and win some jobs without spending tons and tons of money. So for them, putting an ad on the radio or TV is not an option. What if you had $5,000? Let's say every contractor should be able to come up with $5,000. Where would you spend that? Yeah, just put you on the spot.
If you can't, you should find $5,000.
Yeah. 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 Steal it from Wade.
Yeah. But in June, it'd be hard in October. Yeah,
he won't miss it in June. He will miss it in December. No, I would invest in some good quality camera equipment. So, and just for content, because I think, so there's two parts to this. You want to have, if you don't have money, you have time, right? So you have to spend one of those two things. And so if you don't have money to spend, you have to put your time in, and it works best.
How do you get to that? I feel like I've got no money and no time.
Yeah, I was like,
where did we go wrong?
Yeah. It must be in the next 3 years we come up with one of those.
Yeah, it's just priorities, right? Yeah. It's whatever you prioritize your time around. So, but like your Justin and Greg reference, just to keep this super Saskatchewan. Justin, I talked to him and he has an awesome video that talks about how to set up a vlogging rig. And like I bought that verbatim. Like they've got a Canon Rebel 2 or something like that. And a Rode mic, the Rode mic is huge. And then like a little tripod thing to be able to hold up. But like as a contractor, just like it's all about storytelling, right? And so like all the platforms are free. Invest, like I think the whole setup was like $1,000. So out of your $5,000 budget, there's your $1,000 to have something that you can film on that's going to be good quality. And especially in our industries, you're filming outside, so you want to have something with a like a socked mic on your as an input on your camera, to be able to get both good picture quality and good sound quality. And then just share what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be just all like before and after pictures, but it's like just like profile some of the people that work for you, right? Like catch some of that stuff, put it on your Instagram stories, take some pictures, like talk to your clients. Who do you do work for? Who do you like doing work for? Capturing all that stuff, telling your story so that when, you know, and then, I would probably take some money and put it into some sort of industry group. So whether that's your home builders association, your construction association, your chamber of commerce, something that you can go to events and do some networking and put together a bit of a referral program on, like, you know, just, and it doesn't even have to be a rewarded referral program, but just talk to people about what kind of customers you like and ask questions about their business. And, you know, what kind of customers do you guys like? How can I provide value to you? You start to then build relationships and people are like, you become top of mind for people. Right. And so then when somebody says like, okay, we need a deck built, where should I go? Well, we like the guys at the deck shop. Like, I've done my job to be a good friend to send, you know, send them over, but then what are they going to do? They're going to look at your Instagram page. They're going to look at your Facebook page. They might go to your website. But they're going to try and look to see, what are these guys like?
Who are these guys?
Yeah. Who are these guys? Right. And so if it looks fake or if it looks genuine, but like, if you look at it and it's like, oh, okay, these guys do, you know, they sell a lot of decks. They work with a lot of good contractors. They have a ton of good product, like, and they seem to know what they're talking about. So I've made a mental decision that I know what to expect when I go to your store. Or as a contractor, it's like, well, just make some content around what does it look like to do business with you, right? So I think that's really, so I didn't even get to the $5,000,
right? Yeah, you spent about $2,000 so far. So there you go. There's a lot of value for $2,000. You've got $3,000 to spend, or go for a really nice dinner.
Yeah. And I mean, like, for both of us, we have, you know, like, we give out a lot of referrals, right? So like, build relationships with your suppliers. Your suppliers, if you're supporting your suppliers should have a vested interest in supporting you.
Yeah.
Right. Sweet. And so I think, like, and that doesn't cost you any money. And just, you know, ask questions about, like, what are you looking for in a referral partner? Right. And well, like, a lot of it is like, yeah, you need a bare minimum of it's a given that you should be good at the work that you're doing. But for us, it's like, how do you respond to quote requests? Like, what kind of system do you have for getting back to people? Do you answer your phone when somebody calls? Do you how long does it take you to return emails? What do you do when there is an issue with the workmanship of your work on a job? What do you do to go back to them? Right. So it's, again, like, that stuff doesn't cost any money. I guess if I had to use up the rest of the budget, I would definitely invest in some clothing for my staff, some good quality logoed clothing, and probably truck and trailer wrap. Yep. Right. Like, the number of people that, cause we do a lot of clothing and we give it out to our customers and they wear it to job sites. And the number of people that come up to me and like, oh, you guys landscape my neighbor's place. Well, no, actually, we've never landscaped a yard ever, but I bet you there were some guys with rusty shovel shirts there that, sure, yeah. So then when it comes down to like the really nice thing about what we do is that you're doing work in an area where all their neighbors also need the same work done, right? So like, yeah. If you just put t-shirts on your guys that, you know, make them look professional and you have a professional looking trailer and a professional looking truck, like, that's pretty much it. That's all you
have to do.
That's all you have to do, because they're it's not like a kitchen renovation, right? Where they can't see the finished product. It's like, oh yeah, there was something going on at Shane's house, but I don't know what he was doing. Like, did you guys get some work done? Oh yeah, we did we redid our ensuite. It's like, okay, well, I'm never going to see that.
Yeah.
So, but with outside stuff, like, everybody sees that, right? And you don't even have, like, you don't have to clean up before you invite people over to look at it. Like, they could just walk by and take a peek at it. So, like, that is your marketing right there as a trades person, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't need to be complicated. It's just like common sense stuff that, like, take care of your housework, like, answer the phone and answer some emails and be respectful and polite. And
yeah,
but I think it's good too, cause like, a lot of for years and years and years, the solution to avoiding a bad experience has been, to get three quotes or whatever, right? That's what everybody tells somebody, like, oh, you got a bad contractor. Well, did you check with, like, did you just hire the first guy? Did you hire the lowest bid? Like, you should have got three quotes and got a feel of people or whatever. And it's like, I feel like that's maybe people don't really want to do that. So they'll do it if they have to, if they're out of fear. It's like, oh, I better get three quotes in case this guy is like screwing me on price or, you know, whatever. But a lot of people, like, you might be able to convince somebody to not go down that path if they've learned enough about you before they have to make that phone call. Anyway, through, like you said, your Instagram and your Facebook, if they get a chance to know you beforehand, you've eliminated, like, they're not inviting a stranger into their home and learning everything about them in 20 minutes. They've already done the research. They already know if they're comfortable with you. They've seen your work. Like, you can get rid of so much of that building rapport and trust before you've ever even picked up the phone with that person by having your personality out there and your processes out there, and they know what to expect before. And maybe then they don't even want to get three quotes. Maybe it's like, I've been watching this guy on Instagram for 10 months. Like, I know I want to work with him already. I don't need to screw around here. Like, he's the guy. And I like his personality. I like his crew. The people that he works for seem great. Like, their projects always look like they go really well. I've seen some, you know, non-phony testimonials from their customers.
Show some mistakes too, right? If you show a couple of mistakes, then people know that you make them. It's like, well, that's okay. The guy makes a couple of mistakes, but he remedied it, and so now I trust him.
How did you deal with it? Yeah, that's a big thing for us. Like, when I talk about, you know, we deal with manufactured product all the time, right? And so there's literally every manufacturer is going to have problems. It's like, yeah, you want to work with the ones that have less problems, but like everyone, it doesn't matter which one you deal with, they're all going to have problems. I want to deal with the ones that deal with their problems in the best way. Exactly. Like, if there's a pump that fails, do I have to do a site visit, fill out 7 pages of paperwork, get you a serial number? Or is it just like, yeah, we did this check. We know it was purchased here. Here's what the customer told us, and now it doesn't work. It's like, yeah, okay. Do you have one on your shelf, or do you need me to ship you one? Yeah. So that replacement. And so people do want to know that. And I think with contractors, it is just being more human about like who you are, what you do, and how you do it. I think that's a huge part of, and it'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Like, it might not make you more money per se, because like, if you are in that situation where you have one crew, like that one crew can only produce so much work, but it can get you working. Like, for our guys, for example, like, you know, there's lots of people that are like, oh man, if I could just put in water features, or if I could just put in sprinklers, or if I could just do patios, like, that would be my lifelong dream. I would be so happy. But it's like, well, but this week you're doing a fence, and you know, this week you're bobcatting a bunch of rock around. Like, that as a craftsperson, like, that doesn't obviously get you super jazzed up about being on the job site, right? Yeah. And so, like, if you have people that, because they have, you know, they met you at the home show and they got along with you well, and they liked your quote presentation and the fact that you returned their call, and they've seen that that wasn't just a charade that you put on for them, but they can see that that's just who you are online. They see your personality coming through, and they've made the decision that, yeah, that's who I want to work with. So that when you tell them that, yeah, I know that it's April and you want this done in May, but the person that talked to me in February is the one getting it done in May, but I do have a spot in August. That's the person that's going to wait for you to be able to do the work that you want to do at the price that you want to do it for, right? That's fair. So I think that's the benefit that you get from doing that stuff.
You're like, I'm the sprinkler daddy, not the sprinkler boy. You're going to have to wait till August.
That's funny.
The gift that just keeps
full circle.
Giving.
Yeah, that's there it is.
We're at 1 hour and 7 minutes. We've been crushing it on this one. I feel like we could probably do this for another 3 hours. Any other touch points that we want to get to before we close this off? You have any questions for us the other way? Turn it back around. Or Wade, you got anything you've been sitting on the whole time?
No, that was it. I was just waiting.
A stool.
Just a well done. just a sprinkler daddy joke. That was it. I was holding
that out of your system. Yeah.
Good.
And nothing else.
Well, Sean, I appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us today.
Did he say no?
I don't know. He didn't jump on the mic to get a question.
Shane didn't want to answer the tough questions.
Do you have any questions? Yeah. Okay, well, play off music. Boom. Yeah,
this is like a federal debate here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's steer clear of that.
This is good. Thank you guys for having me on. Like, I just love talking about this stuff. And, you know, I think you guys are doing a pretty cool thing here. And I'm just honored to be a part of it. And the fact that you have the Rusty Shovel mug in behind you on the YouTube show.
It's a nice mug.
It's it just warms my heart. So. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Like you said, it's a lonely place, right? So
good to have friends.
Yeah, that's right. And I think these kind of conversations, we should probably make a point of having these more often, getting like not on the mics. I mean, like you and I and Wade and whoever should get out and just kind of like,
absolutely,
just help each other along a little bit better. There's groups out there that do that all the time that I know you're a part of and we've been a part of a little bit, but we haven't done it together much. So we should do that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, people, take care.